Paul Lambert und Karl-Heinz Riehle 1:0 für Borussia Dortmund.
Alan McInerney, meine Damen und Herren.
Welcome back to another German Football Podcast, and we've had been quite a mental week of Bundesliga coming up for you. It's so many things have happened, so many managerial changes in all the leagues as well, to be fair. But we're probably going to stick mainly on the Bundesliga, and what we're going to do is we're going to look at the relegation battle going into the end of the season. There's six games to go. There's five teams definitely stuck in it. There's two teams that look like they're safe, but are not quite safe. We'll delve into all of them and see how it goes. But first, introduce who's on. So, Colin, you're back again. How you doing, mate? You good?
Yeah, I'm good. A good weekend of Bundesliga action, apart from Monday night. We'll not go too deeply into that.
See, I wasn't going to mention it, but you've brought it up, so we're going to need to mention it at some point. Now, I was going to see if we can completely forget about it and not mention it. But within a minute, you've already brought it up, unfortunately. I don't even think I watched the end of the game. I think I turned off. It was a terrible game. But yeah, we'll get into that later on. But we've also got Robert Haggis back. Robert's going to join us a bit more as a semi-regular guest now, which me and Colin are very happy with. So that'll be good to see. But Robert, how you doing, mate? You good?
I'm doing good, thank you. Yeah, left HSV at the end of the month, and maybe the HSV fans will be happy because the last time I was on talking about the derby, and during my time there were three derbies lost to St. Pauli and one drawn. So, although I guess the HSV fans will be hoping that they won't have to play another derby for the foreseeable future, but that's another talking point. But yeah, I'm doing good, thank you.
Not bad, not bad. You're a jinx for the derby up in Hamburg then. But no, that's good. Good to see you doing well. Let's just jump into it, guys. I think what happened from the weekend, I mean, we can talk about the results from match day 28. In a brief, but I think what's best to look at is what the bottom five is looking at going into this tail end of the season, because it's probably the most interesting part of the Bundesliga season so far, I would say. You know, we've made it to 28 games now, and we're looking from Schalke sitting with 13 points, and you've got SC Köln, they're starting to fall again, 23, Hertha and Armenia on 26, and then you've got Mainz on 28, and then as Colin quite rightly mentioned before we joined, that you've got to look at Bremen only 2 points ahead of Mainz, and Hoffenheim again only that extra point ahead of Bremen. So I think we should just kind of dissect each team and see what they're going to go for at the end of the season, see how it's going to run out for them. Do you think they're going to, where do you think, and we'll kind of give another prediction, because we've been doing these a couple of times now, and I think the last time you were on, Robert, you gave your prediction for the bottom half of the league, and to be honest, I think mine changes every week going from what it's like. So let's just jump into it. Let's start from, well, we start from the top, go from Mainz, sticking with the five just now, and then we'll look at the other two teams later on. But Mainz, for instance, Robert, bring you in first. They've been exceptional for the last 11 games, you know, 21 points, both Svensson's dramatically changed them round from what was a terrible start. But if you look at their last four games, does that really worry you if you were in a Mainz persuasion that all that good form could completely be gone and your season could be killed with the last four games?
I think that's definitely a possibility. Yeah, but I think as Colin said a few times, they just seem to have that knack of staying in a division. It doesn't matter sort of what happens in the season. They always find a way to get out of it. And I think as we've seen in the second half of the season as well, even against the big teams, like they beat Leipzig at home, I think they drew with Bayern, or definitely took points off another big team as well. And I think possibly even when you're going into the end of the season, maybe playing someone like sort of Frankfurt or Wolfsburg, who might already have Champions League wrapped up, or it might be pretty certain whether they're coming third or fourth, they might be taking the foot off the gas. As seeing with Frankfurt, it might be a similar situation to Gladbach, because their coach is leaving, the players aren't playing for the coach anymore. So maybe an opportunity to pick points up there. I think it's really interesting because if you look at their squad, the individual quality is probably one of the worst of the teams down there, but they just seem to have that team cohesion, seem to play well as a team. have a good game plan from Bo Svensson. So I think if you're a Mainz fan, you're definitely looking down below you and looking to those last four fixtures, but feeling relatively confident at this moment in time.
Yeah, I think it could go either way. You could be potentially worried, but you could also go, well, look at us for the last 11 games. We've been very consistent with picking up points, getting good points. You know, like you said, picking up good points against teams at the top. They were 2-0 up at Bayern. I know they ended up, I think it was 5-2 that game ended, but they did go 2-0 up against Bayern at the Allianz. They're picking up great wins. The win against Köln at the weekend was... We'll talk about that game later, but a little bit... I thought a draw was kind of... Not taking any Köln persuasion out of this, but like I thought a draw would have been the better result based on the game. But following the last five games, you get Hertha at home, Werder Bremen away, Bayern at home, Eintracht Frankfurt away, Dortmund at home, and finishing the season at Wolfsburg away. That is tricky. That is a really tricky last six games, considering what's at stake. And it's Bundesliga survival at the end.
It is really tricky, but I mean, I would take them to win any of those games. I mean, I'm not going to say they win all of them, but I think on a given day, they could win any of those games because, I mean, Bayern have been depleted recently. Union managed to get a draw away to them. So I think against perhaps an understrength Bayern side, I don't see why Mainz couldn't beat them, particularly on the run of form they're in just now. Frankfurt and Wolfsburg, just as Robert said, they're really quite well cemented their position in the top four. So there's no reason why I don't think Mainz could beat one of those sides. Remember last season towards the end of the year, they managed to win at Frankfurt as well. So they could repeat that. But even looking at the next two fixtures, they're home to Hertha and away to Werder Bremen. They could conceivably win both of those games and they'd almost be safe even before that run of fixtures at the end. They're on 28 points just now. If they beat Hertha and beat Werder, that would put them into 34, which is, I mean, you'd have to say that's almost safe. They could win both those games and then maybe only need a point or two in the final four games. I think it's looking really good for them just with the run of games they've had recently. They've put themselves in such a good position.
Yeah, form speaks a lot for like teams like Mainz. If Mainz are in good form, a team like that is going to thrive off it because they don't always hit good form for this long period of time in the season. But interestingly, Colin, like if you gave any other of the five we're going to talk, four of the other five that we're going to talk about today, that fixture list, would you be so optimistic about them, same way you are with Mainz? Or would you have a different outlook on them?
No, because, I mean, Mainz are the one with the upward momentum. Mainz are the one that, although they've not got the same squad as Hertha, I would say, but they just seem so much better as a unit since Bo Svensson was appointed. They just really seem to be able to pull out results. And they're showing really a top and bottom, no matter who they're facing, they're well capable of pulling a result out. So based on recent form and for those reasons, I'd trust them at the moment more than any of the other sides down there.
And like one thing we don't always do is kind of look at the stats and stuff. Like, but I'm going to bring some stats in, and Robert, I'll give this to you. Like, see if you look at Mainz, they're actually bottom of two quite important ones. Like the least possession in games at 42% is an average. And the least successful passes from open play at 75.6%. We could say that Svensson's got them winning games, but going into those last games, they're kind of important for teams that want to try and push their way out, surely.
Not necessarily. I guess especially if they're playing against teams at the top of the table, they're unlikely to have a lot of possession. Like if I remember correctly, that the game they won at home against Leipzig, they were sort of playing on the counter, really letting Leipzig have a lot of possession in sort of amongst their back four in not particularly dangerous positions. So no, I don't think that'll worry Svensson a huge amount. They've got as long as it fits into their game plan to not have a huge amount of possession.
No, that's a fair comment. I thought it was quite interesting to see that they were like sitting at the bottom of some of these, considering how well the form has been recently. Do you kind of credit Svensson for the fact that they lost Mateta, or do you think that Mateta was maybe a catalyst for the failure at the start of the season, looking back there, Robert?
Well, I think that's possibly pinning the blame on him too much. Also, yeah. I'm a Crystal Palace fan, and he's moved to Palace as well. So, but no, it's certainly some of the comments he made before he left. He said something like, "Oh, I always wanted to play in the Premier League," and sort of words to the effect of "I'm too big for mines," kind of thing. Certainly, kind of helped the dressing room. And it was Martin Schmidt, wasn't it? The manager for the first half of the season. Hmm. I think in his previous appointments as well, when he was in Augsburg, he sort of found it difficult to deal with big personalities like that. So definitely could have impacted the dressing room harmony, but also I think probably at board level as well, because they brought back Christian Heidel as well, who's also had an unsuccessful time at Schalke, but was very successful at Mainz in his first spell there. So I think that probably helped as well. So having a bit of constant performance in off the pitch as well.
Yeah, I don't want to like pin all the blame on Mateta. I just in a way I was kind of aiming that as like not comparing this in any level at all. But a lot of Portuguese aren't like think that if you take Ronaldo out the Portugal national team, they're going to play better because not everything's going through Ronaldo. Like, not comparing Ronaldo and Mateta at all. I don't think everyone's ever done that at all. But, you know, Mateta was a star player and everything did go through him. Everything was get the ball to Mateta. Mateta's going to score. Although you have Quaison playing really well last season, both of them linked up well, but this season it wasn't and everything was going through Mateta. So that's kind of where I was coming at it from, that once you took him out, you found that players like, I think, Barreiro's been really great, the Luxembourg international. He's been fantastic. He scored a goal of the week. He scored a good goal of the weekend. Took a wee bit of a deflection, but, you know, going into the end of the season, that worked well. And then you've seen St. Just at the back. He's became a really prominent player. Niakate as well. It's like you said, the first thing you said was that they've formed this cohesion as a team and you don't need to have star players. And that's where I think it's interesting with Mateta, that now he's gone, they've actually started picking up more points because it's working as a team. And I totally agree. I think, especially with Bielotza at the start of the season, I don't think he could. He kind of came across as a manager who couldn't deal with high profile players. And same at FC Köln as well, I think. I think he kind of struggled there as well. So it was a strange appointment to give him that job. It didn't really work out. Speaking of Bielotza, Colin, do you think that now Svensson's come in, you can kind of see that Bielotza maybe wasn't the right fit for them at the time?
Well, a big controversy with Bielotza, part of the reason he was eventually shoved out the door was his dealings with Adam Salai. I believe he'd been demoted to the second team, or he was forced to train by himself. The squad eventually went on strike, so Bielotza, perhaps maybe not the best man manager. You can definitely see that the players are pulled together with Svensson coming back in, which at the start of the season you really couldn't have seen happening because of the disunity under Bielotza. And I mean, players striking, that's never a good sign. The signs were all the signs really were there that they were going to get relegated with the start that they had and all the unrest in the training camp. But credit to Svensson, he's turned it around.
It's been brilliant what he's done. Like, what was it I said? 21 points for the past 11 games. That's fantastic. I'm in the top four or five of the Rückrunde table. If you look at just what happened from the Rückrunde, I think they're in the top four, definitely, from that. Because that's a great return. And you look at, you know, I think some of the other teams round about them must be lower down form-wise anyway. So I think it's credit to what they've done. Well, can I give our predictions once we went through the full team, all the teams, sorry. But like, obviously, Colin said there he thinks Mainz can win in any given day. Robert, would you can I agree with that? Looking at the last six games, do you think that the first two games is the most important, and do you think like they will manage to pick up points in the last four?
Yeah, I think while they've got the possibility to win during the past four games, they'll definitely be looking at the next two games to get their points. And as Colin said, it then gives them a bit more yeah, freedom, or the pressure's off a bit more if they can get at least 4 points from their next two games. But I mean, the game at the weekend against Hertha would probably be quite a cagey encounter, because yeah, there's a lot on the line for both teams.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm going to ask both of you, like, for each club, who do you think is going to be that player that's going to be really important for the club going into these last six games to kind of try and pull them through? Like, for Mainz, for this one, who do you think is going to be their most important player heading into the end?
I think really all of them, and that's the point. Like, there's not really one you can pick out.
Maybe one might be Zentner, because he had a few mistakes that he made in goal earlier in the season as well, whereas he's been pretty good over the past few weeks and made a good few saves.
Yeah, no, I think he's grown in confidence. I think the longer his hair gets, like, the better he's got. His like last season, you know, he wasn't fantastic, you know, and then he grew into this season, and he'll be starting to get into it. So no, I've been really impressed with him, actually. I think the back line's quite impressive. But I actually agree with Colin's comment. You can't say that for every team, though, Colin. Just point out, like, you have to pick a player from the other teams. But I agree with Mainz that the starting 11 is the most important part of the club at the moment. And that's what could see them achieve safety come the end of the season. So we'll move on. We'll go down the table one more place, 15th place, and we find Hertha BSC. What are we thinking looking at their last six games? So Hertha's last six games are Mainz away, Freiburg at home, Schalke away, Armenia at home, Köln at home, and Hoffenheim away. Colin, you can start with Hertha. Favourable? Or is that too many games around teams around them that they're likely to slip up in one or two of those fixtures?
Yeah, on one hand, you could say it's probably as favourable as you could get in terms of the ability that the teams that are facing. Schalke, particularly, I mean, that's always a bonus having them in the running. But the Rückrunde, sorry, the Hinrunde, they really dropped a lot of points during that period. They drew with Mainz at home, lost at Freiburg, lost at Bielefeld, lost at home to Hoffenheim. And all these teams are facing in this run of fixtures. So they really have to, they have to reverse that at the end of the season, because they can't really afford to be dropping points. I mean, their result at the weekend, a draw against Gladbach, you'd think that's a good result, but they were playing against 10 men for nearly the full game. Such a big missed opportunity to get the 3 points. They really have to start taking their chances.
Yeah, no, I think there's just too many games this season that they've just been so unappetizing to watch. Yeah, so, like, Robert, looking at the last six games for yourself, do you kind of agree with what Colin was saying there, that Hinrunde was kind of their undoing, and you look at Dardai coming in and they need to start somewhere for these last six games and just kind of get a bit of consistency and momentum going into them?
Yeah, I think their problem, particularly in the first half of the season, was the opposite of the Mainz. It was their squad cohesion. They've got lot of individual talent in their squad, but maybe have been pulling against each other, and all the individuals sort of trying to prove themselves rather than pulling for the team. And maybe that's what they could be undoing in these relegation six pointers, because in those games a lot of the time it is about sort of the motivation and the competitive spirit and how much the team wants it. So that could possibly be their undoing if they don't have that teamwork. And obviously, as a former Union Berlin employee, I would obviously find it quite funny if they get relegated, and sort of the things they've done this season, sort of going against the classic German model where they have invested lots of money, possibly to the which I think some Hertha fans probably haven't found so good, and especially the fact that they've sort of thrown lots of these expensive talents together and it hasn't really worked so far.
Yeah, no, like you mentioned Cunha and like players like that. Do you not look at their front line? Look at who they've got. Jan Córdoba, Mateus Cunha, Piontek. That's three strikers who would start in the majority of the Bundesliga sides, and they can't. I mean, they've scored more goals than the other teams round about them, but they just can't seem to get it clicking going forward. It's really strange how it's not worked out, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it is strange. Really, particularly Piontek as well, because he scored lots of goals in Milan. I think lots of people were very impressed when Hertha managed to pick him up. I think that was last January, wasn't it? And yeah, it's been a real surprise. And yeah, I'm not really sure what it's down to. Possibly it's that sort of selfish element, really, where they're always looking to play or they're always looking to work on their own and take on their man rather than necessarily looking for their teammates.
Yeah, Colin, like again, Robert said, maybe it could be like even an ego thing for some of these players, because they are looked at as like main. I would say all three of them would be main number nines. Oh, maybe not Cunha. Cunha's more of a 10, like can play nine or like wing. But like they're main players, and sometimes like look at Piontek, he's having to sit on the bench a lot. Cordoba's been injured a lot, so he's not played too much. Do you think that kind of ego from some of these players that have come in, especially the midfield as well, because you've got so many big players? I know Khedira's come to his end now, so he's maybe not so solely focused on 90 minutes. But like Guendouzi, like Toussaint, just players like this. Do you think there's just too many players that would want to take centre stage and they're all kind of fighting against each other? Do you think that's maybe a downfall of the season?
Yeah, I mean, that's a theory, particularly with the strikers, because they really have had to rotate. They've got a large number of attacking players. I mean, look at Bakayo as well. I thought he was pretty much a central player of the Fortuna season. They finished 10th, pretty much the key player on that side, along with Benito Raman. Now he's coming into Hertha, better side in terms of personnel. So he's no longer that key focal point. And similarly with players like Cordoba. Cordoba was really the main striker, the number one man at Köln as well, but no longer the case at Hertha. Cunha's a different story. He's coming from Leipzig, but as you say, there does seem to have been attitude problems with him. So really, you have to, when you're signing players, you can't just, when you get money and investment, you've got to take into account the players' characters as well. Sometimes too much change at one time is a bad thing, particularly if it's these strong characters that really need to consider whether that's good for team chemistry. I think previous Hertha sides, they'd had that strong core for quite a few seasons. Some of that is retained with the likes of Nicholas Stark and Vladimir Darida, but now with all these new players thrown in, the sides really got gone further towards a relegation battle in that time, so you've really got to consider where that's gone wrong.
Yeah, definitely. And I think you can include Guendouzi in that, because Guendouzi comes across on the pitch as a player who wants to be the start, like maybe not the star of the show, but he does try and command the game. And there is other players in that Hertha team who want to command the game. And I don't know if he has actually turned out to be a good signing for them in the end. He's played well, but he's also cost him a couple of times as well. He's quite reckless with his challenges, I think. So I don't know if that's maybe a bad thing. Hertha's part. So maybe it is the transfer policy this season that's actually been their undoing. But they also just didn't start the season well enough under Labbadia. And it's an interesting change to Dardai. In the end, if they stay up, it's going to work. If they go down, then they're going to look at it. It was a terrible decision. But going into that, those last six games, I think because of how similar the teams are around about them, position-wise, I think that really could be really tricky for Hertha going into it.
What game do you think they could slip up in? Not sounding like they're going to slip up, Colin, but like, what game do you think is the kind of biggest banana skin? Is it the Schalke game? Because obviously Schalke won at the weekend. Congratulations to them. We should probably give them a bit of praise. We'll talk about them in the end, obviously. But do you think that Schalke game could be a slip-up for them, you know, away at the Veltins? Or do you think that the second last game of the season away to Köln, the second last game of the season at home to Köln could be one of the biggest games of the season in that part of the table?
I think
to continue the running theme, I think actually the Mainz game next is the biggest banana skin.
Fair enough.
Probably comes to no surprise. But
we're going to be the German Mainz football podcast, I think. Or the Mainz football podcast, eventually. We're big fans of Mainz now.
It's not because I like them. It's just because I think they're really, really good.
I don't like them, but they're really, really good. hate them, but they're really good. Of course. But like, yeah, I mean, not to forget about that Mainz game coming up next week, of course, or this weekend, sorry. But I don't know, something about me saying that the Köln game could be more important just by the timing of it, because it's the second game of the season and you don't know where Köln are going to be by that point. You don't know, that game could be dead. Like, Köln could lose the next couple of games and Köln are definitely down and that game means nothing. But you're also having to watch Bielefeld. This is the beauty of the bottom five just now, because they need to watch out for the other teams. Like, Hertha could win the first two games and they'll be fine. Mainz could win the first two games and be fine. Köln could win the first three games and then push Hertha for that last game, you know. So, would you still say that Mainz is the biggest game after me explaining that part?
I think I have to double down on the Mainz thing, but I mean, they're all banana skins. Like, yeah, the Köln game, I think, as you say, like the timing of that, it just does seem like it will be really decisive. Because I know you're saying like Köln could easily, they could be pretty much down by that point, but I think it will go to the last couple of match days, even for the playoff. That will still be decisive. But just all of those games really are winnable, but because of the nature of like their six pointers, there's so much pressure to get results from them, because it would just benefit the other side if they drop points. Apart from Freiburg, which might even be one of the easier games, because Freiburg were really poor against Bielefeld. Their season's really just petering out. I think that Freiburg at home might actually be one of the easier games, despite their higher league position.
No, that's a fair comment, because Freiburg going into it are going to start. I mean, it's kind of looking like Freiburg's season's going to just kind of. I don't think they're going to make any European football anymore. I mean, 7 points is far too far for them. So that might be a. You're correct, that might be a team that won't care too much about results. So it'll be interesting to see where they, once that game comes around as well. But I can't get my head around some of the next two games are so vital for Hertha. But it's just that game against Köln, I think it could be huge. Going into it, like, Robert, can I say something to you? Do you think there's any of those games that Hertha are looking at and going, that's going to be tricky? Even Bielefeld visiting them, you don't know where Armenia are going to be come that part of the season. It could be because they're closer together, they're on the same points at the moment. They could still be on those same points. That could come into a 3-point gap for either team. So it could be a very important game.
Yeah, I'd agree with you. I think they're probably looking at that Köln game because, like both of you, I think it's going to go down to the wire. I think that's what's so exciting, perhaps. In comparison to some previous seasons, I mean, there's sort of six teams all fighting for two places, or fighting not to get into two places, pretty much. And so, yeah, I think it will go down to the wire. And I think that last game against Köln, because you never know how, obviously we're going to talk about it in a bit, but you don't know how Funkel's appointment will end up at Köln and whether they'll be on a bit of a run. So, yeah, I think they'll be looking at that game.
It'll be an interesting end to the season for Hertha anyway. I think they've kind of, I would say they're maybe deservedly in this position just by how they did play in the Hinrunde. You know, they've only picked up 6 wins this season. That's really disappointing. I had them finishing in my prediction video, my predictions. I had them sixth, I think. I think I had them really up. I thought all the, yeah, I know exactly. I thought all the investment they were making was going to work and everything was going to click, but obviously that far from anything clicking at all. They've just been pretty, I don't want to say shambolic, they've not been that bad, but if they go down, it'll look really, really bad. But same question for how we ended the Mainz one. Any particular players that you think could be really important for them? Colin, come at you first. Don't say all 11 again. but like, yeah, a player like Khedira be important? I know he's not featured so much, but do you think his experience could be really important? Get into that. He's probably not as much experience as the end of the foot of the table, apart from when he maybe was younger. You know, obviously being at such big clubs, could he be important? Are you looking at one of the strikers to take the lead? You know, what's your kind of view on that? Who's going to be able to drag Hertha out of this?
Yeah, Khedira's quite a good point, because he's got just so much experience being a World Cup winner. I saw his interview after the game at the weekend, and he was quite critical of his teammates, but you got the impression through that he's quite a leading figure in the dressing room. He's he would definitely be a voice of authority in the club setup. So a player of that experience is going to be really vital for them. On the pitch, though, I think it will be the creative players that will be the key to success for them, the likes of Cunha. Cordoba got a goal at the weekend as well. So I think they'll have to rely on those if they're going to get out of this.
What about yourself, Robert? Who are you looking at from Hertha that could probably take them out of it?
I think the one player I have been impressed with and seems to have played well most of the times I've watched him has been Toussaint. Came from Lyon, I think. He's been very impressive. Because I think the one thing that sticks out is even though they've got lots of good players, they don't seem to have any leaders. I mean, Nicholas Stark at the back would probably be the other one you pick out. But he seems to, although he's very gifted too, so he seems to sort of stick to his task, doesn't have the flamboyance or sort of the over-the-top antics of Guendouzi, but seems to go about his business a lot better and a lot more effectively.
There we go. I think Khedira could be quite important, like Colm was saying. It's just there's so much experience there, but I do really rate Toussaint. I think it was disappointing to see that he was injured for most of the season as well. He was at the start, he missed quite a lot of it, and then when you have seen him, he's been brilliant. So I'm really impressed with him. I think the middle could be an important part for Hertha going to the end of it. So I think we'll finish up with Hertha there, and we'll go one more down, and you end up at Arminia Bielefeld. I mean, Bielefeld's last six games. Again, it's an interesting one for them because they've got Augsburg away, Schalke at home, Gladbach away, Hertha away, Hoffenheim at home, and Stuttgart away. Again, I think their last game is going to be quite difficult. I know it could depend on if Stuttgart are still aiming for European football, which it looks likely that they could still manage to sneak in there. Okay, it's a bit of a jump, but we can talk about that another time with Stuttgart. So that could be an interesting game for Bielefeld going into it. But what's your thoughts, Colin, on Armenia going into the last six games? Are you hopeful for them? Do you think Kramer's got it in them to keep this team up? You know, you've seen that they've kind of came into terms with the squad now. They're starting to play a bit better from the first couple of games that you had under them. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, they've certainly improved under new coach. The win against Freiburg was important as well. Obviously, with the budget that they've got and everything, they're not got the most talented squad, but they will work really hard, particularly when you compare them to a squad like Hertha's. It's just that team spirit that's going to drive them over the line. They struggled to score goals, and that was an own goal that they won against Freiburg with. And quite often in these games, they do need a stroke of luck for that, for them to get the points. They don't really have, with the exception of a couple of players like Doan, they don't really have the individual quality to create a lot of chances for that. But when they get those goals, they've got the defence to keep them out. Ortega's been really good this season. I think he's about seven clean sheets now, which for a team in the relegation battle, that's really impressive. So I think their chances are really touch and go. Like, I've had the feeling that the lack of ability in the squad, lack of firepower is going to hold them back. So I still have a feeling that the best that they're going to get is the playoff.
So that's an interesting look on it. You know, I mean, I thought Friday's result was a very good result for them. To look into it, that was a good starting point going into these last six games. And Ortega's one that I was going to come to later on, so we'll come back to him because I think he's going to be vital for them. But Robert, what's your look into the last six games? You've probably seen a bit more of Bielefeld in the past couple of years as well, you know, working in the Vita Liga stuff. They have grown into a reasonably good team. I wouldn't say they would look an established Bundesliga side yet, but do you think that might be what is their downfall? That they aren't as established as a Bundesliga side recent, and you know, when was the last time in the Bundesliga? It was 10 years before they came back up. Do you think that the fact that other teams will get more experience of this relegation battle? I know Bielefeld were yo-yoing between Drittliga and Zweiteliga, but it's a different scenario. Do you think that might be a downfall for Bielefeld going into it? Because, you know, Köln do get relegated a lot. They're used to it. Mainz are always down there. It's new for Schalke, but they're basically gone. So do you think that could be something to look at for Bielefeld's point of view?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's it's probably really disappointing for their fans as well, because you think their fans would make a big difference if they were there at the moment, because as you say, they haven't been in the Bundesliga for over a decade, and because then they would probably transmit to the players a bit more how special it is, and how, because then you probably say it means more for them to stay up than it would for Mainz or Köln, like you say. Yeah, I think the one thing, as Colin touched on, is their defensive stability that could really help them do a sort of bit of a Tony Pulis or Big Sam job, and really cut the number of goals that you concede, and then sort of try and get your way to some 1-0 wins or some close wins towards the end of the season. I think, sort of as we were talking about before, the teams you want to be playing towards the end of the season are ones you don't really have much to play for, and they've got Augsburg. Don't know what it'll be with Gladbach and maybe Hoffenheim as well. So yeah, I think there's definitely some opportunities for them to pick up points against teams that may be already on their summer holidays.
Yeah, no, we'll go straight into that actually, and just look at their last six games. Like, is there a game that you can pick out and go, I think for me, they need to beat Augsburg at the weekend. And I think if they beat Augsburg, that gives them a wee bit of momentum. Don't know if you agree with that, Robert, just because if you look at Schalke afterwards, we'll talk about Schalke later, but that could be an interesting game. If they win those two games, because Augsburg are looking pretty poor at the moment, those two games, it's the same with what we were saying about Mainz. If you win those first two games, you're looking good.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, sorry, and you touched on it before as well, but during their promotion season, Vogelsammer was really impressive for them, along with Klose up front, until he got injured around the halfway mark of the season, and he's been good the past 2 weeks as well. I mean, he scored against Mainz, didn't he? And that could definitely help in their fight, well, in their helping to get a bit more creativity around Doan.
Yeah, no, that was a great goal he scored, actually. I was really impressed with that goal against Mainz. Like you said, Doan's going to be a really important part to them coming into the end of the season as well. He's been just really impressive. As well as our new signings have been, actually. Is there any game that you kind of look at, Colin, that maybe they could slip up in? Are you thinking that they could slip up? Like, an Augsburg, anything but a win in Augsburg would be really disappointing for Arminia now.
I think, not just the Augsburg game, but the next two games, Augsburg away and Schalke at home, I think they'll be aiming for 4 points at least there. And if they come out of that with less than that, they'll be really disappointed. So if they do get a draw at Augsburg, if they manage to take advantage of Schalke and beat them, I think they would take that. But as Augsburg did... Who did Augsburg play?
Schalke.
Yeah, of course they did. Yeah, Augsburg losing to Schalke. No better time to play Augsburg in that case than after they lose to one of the worst Bundesliga teams in history. So... But then they take, statistically, not even my opinion.
No, I love how you give so much credit to Mainz, but you still say you don't like them, but you give absolutely no credit to Schalke at all. You despise Schalke. That's your thing. You hate Schalke, but you kind of like Mainz.
I prefer Schalke to Mainz.
I mean, no sense. I don't understand. But yeah, no, I mean, there's nothing wrong with Carnivals, Verein. It was a very good when I went to the Opel Arena, it was a very nice experience. Nothing bad to say about Mainz. But no, like, I totally agree with that. I think if they don't bring anything back from the next two games, I'd say Arminia are gone. Definitely second bottom for me. I think if they don't bring anything from those two games, it could be really, really crucial coming into it. Frank Kramer, who I need to remember not to get mistaken for as Christoph Kramer, as I've done quite a few times. But Frank Kramer's came in, Robert, and a lot of speculation against him because of his kind of reputation, like, of what he's been at recently, and he's been more youthful. But I think he's got the better out of the Bielefeld side now in the past couple of games, especially. And, you know, you mentioned Vogelsammer there. I think he's came back to great form and he's done really well. I think he's done an okay job. Do you think he could be, if he keeps Bielefeld in this league, he can go and build something next year?
Yeah, I think it was interesting when Neuhaus was relieved of his duties, because the sort of discussion on Twitter seemed to be a lot of not quite hate, but sort of not people not quite understanding, not just Bielefeld fans as well, sort of other fans. He seemed to be quite liked, but then sort of as the reports filtered out, it seemed to be there was a bit more discussion about him sort of losing key players in the dressing room, maybe not being quite as on the ball, also not really spending as much time with the younger players, seeming a bit distant. And I think as well, someone who could play a role is Arne Meyer as well. Played a few times for the German under-21s in the Euros group stages, is certainly got a lot of talent, hasn't quite managed to make the breakthrough at Hertha yet. But that's certainly someone who seems to have benefited from a new manager. And I mean, if he does manage to keep them up, I think it's going to be for Bielefeld sort of similar to Colin, at best playoff. Then if he does manage to keep them in, then definitely give him a longer contract and a bit of, well, the summer to add quality to the squad.
Yeah, do you think he'll be given that free rein, Colin, if he does manage to keep them up? And you might see Bielefeld have a wee change of philosophy maybe and go more younger talent, bringing in a couple of young German players. You might see a couple of the under-21 players coming through from the national team. Do you think that's something that it's only going to happen if they get if they stay up? Or do you think Kramer will still stay in the job even if they go back down to Zweiteliga?
It's difficult to say because the appointments definitely seems to be contingent on Hertha Armenia being a Bundesliga side. So it's difficult to say because the plan is that they develop these young players and he's come from the Red Bull Academy system. So just from that, their plan is to have that younger approach and establish themselves as a Bundesliga team from that. So really, if they did get relegated, it would be interesting to see what route they do go down, if they continue with that. Or because you'd think that, as opposed to that, then maybe want to get back up as quickly as possible. So that's interesting to see. It'd be a bit of a crossroads in that case.
Yeah, no, it'll be strange. I'm not too sure where they're going to go with that. I think he was, like you said, he was brought in to go, look, here's something, see what you can make of it for the last how many games he had in the Rückrunde. And if you keep us up, we'll kind of give you your chance to make your mark on the squad. So it'll be interesting to see how they do it. Again, I also agree with you, like, we'll come to predictions and stuff later, but I agree that I don't think they'll get any higher than the playoff spot just because of the lack of experience of recent times against these clubs. But as we ended with all of them so far, who's your kind of player to look into? For me, I'm going to start off, I think Ortega's got to be the main man going into it. I mean, I think I saw a stat, I don't know why I'm coming out with all these stats today, I don't know what's happened. Just too much time on Twitter watching all these stats. It's just full of stats now, isn't it? So I'm just going to clearly spend too much time on that. But you're looking at 117 shots he saved. Like that's a lot for a keeper this season. I know that, like, being a team like Bielefeld coming up and being the lowest budget in the league and not having the greatest squad in the league, but having Ortega there has absolutely saved them from a lot of defeats as well. So Robert, bring you in on that. Do you just kind of agree with that, Ortega? Do you see anyone else? Do you see, like you said, Arne Meyer? He's came into a game. Do you think it's going to be Doan? Could it be Vogelsammer? Could it be close? Could Close just turn up and score 10 goals in the last 5 games? You know, be as vital league Close. You never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, I think Ortega is certainly the standout player for them. And not just his saves as well, but probably one of the best with the ball at his feet as well in the division. I generally think Close could be important because, like we're saying with Kadira at Hertha, people always talk about sort of dressing room figures and that kind of thing, but he's a really, really important guy within the club. Maybe hasn't been at his best, maybe sort of ever Simon Terodde, who's sort of good in the Zweite Liga, but maybe a bit, unathletic as his limit in the first division. So I reckon maybe not with his goals, but certainly his contribution within the dressing room could be important.
Yeah, no, I agree with that as well. I think, obviously making the joke that Close could score 10 goals, he probably could if he wanted to. I think he's one of those players that if he just wanted to turn up that day, he will. But I'd be also really excited to see. I know you're a big admirer of Close. Colin, are you agreeing with Robert? Is that the kind of main players you're going to look at for Bielefeld? I mean, he's got to have to look at these players going into their last six games? Is the players are effectively going to keep them in the division?
It's a similar story to Mainz with the team spirit. That's what's going to carry them over, I think. But I need to start talking about Mainz.
Every team. At one point, you brought up Mainz and just compared everyone to Mainz. We could talk about Bayern Munich and you'd be like, yeah, Mainz, you know, Mainz would have got the same result against PSG. So, sorry, continue.
Close, yes, brilliant dressing room figure, the captain of the club. And he's not really contributed much in terms of goals. I think he's only scored 3 goals in the Bundesliga so far, but he still gets in the team. It's almost like with the figure he is at the club, he's pretty much undroppable. But in terms of our footballing side, Ortega has been really important. That keeper Robert mentioned about is his footballing skills with the ball, which is brilliant, but having a keeper is just so important. When you're mentioning the save figures, it reminds me a bit of Gikovic last year for Union, how vital he was, managed to keep them up. So it really, it could be a similar story. If they do stay up, it will be largely because of him. I remember a few weeks ago, he was attracting interest from Bayern as a backup keeper. I wonder if that's still in the cards.
Yeah, I was literally just about to end it with, do you think he'll be there next season, if they're up or down?
I hope so, but Bayern, even as a backup keeper, that'll be quite a big attraction for him. But
so strange that Bayern seems to be collecting so many backup goalkeepers. Like, got Nubel as well, and he hasn't even played. So
yeah, they just want, like, just once Neuer gets a wee bit older, just going to like have a 36 goalkeepers for every game, like just a backup keeper. It just seems like they're going for that kind of way every time. They just pick up these goalkeepers and they're like, we'll take you. They do race for so long. I'm so glad Ulreich is actually playing now. Like a Hasval. Like, it's nice to actually see him play football. It was so annoying every time you saw him and he was like on the bench. So I don't know if that'll be something to look at for some players, like how not badly was treated, like, because he probably enjoyed the wage he was on sitting on the bench, probably didn't care. But at the same time, you as a goalkeeper, you probably want to be that number one. And if you know you're not going to be that number one, it might not be Ortega's kind of thing. He seems to be a very good goalkeeper in that sense. So Bielefeld with an interesting one, I think, I think if you gave them this at the start of the season, this is where they're going to be with the last six games. They're probably going to be, like, take that. They're probably going to be like, that's fine. We're not miles away. We're still in it. There's still place to go. I think the fact they're still joining points with Hertha at the moment is good. I think their goal difference could hamper them. And the same with when we go into Köln, you know, they're 10 goals off of Hertha. And I don't see them having a 5-goal swing when they play Hertha either. So it could be interesting with the goal difference as well there. So that kind of brings us up to Arminia Bielefeld. So we'll just skip FC Köln, and we should probably talk about FC Köln. So before we go into, you know, Colin, that for me, I think I don't know if I said to you, or I don't know if I said to you guys, I said to a couple of people, if Köln lost that game, they were going to go down. Oh, they were definitely relegation. I'm kind of changing my mind now, more optimistic I get, and the more like FC Köln thinking comes out. But do you think that game of the weekend was more vital than the six games coming up?
I don't know. The six games coming up are definitely more important because they still have a chance of survival. Friedhelm Funkel coming in. You never know what effect that's going to be. Could give them that short-term boost. But at this point in the season, is he really going to make much of an impact? That's difficult to say. I've said all season that the quality of squad that they have is pretty poor. They're really short in creativity. From midfield, you're looking at a lot of your creativity come from Andre Duda, but he seemed like on a mission to get sent off at the weekend. And then they had to take him off, which wasn't particularly good. But then you've got Anderson up front. Florian Kainz, put the ball in a plate for him, but he had it wide. So they're just really struggling to score goals. But they did manage to score 2, one of which from a penalty and the other from a set piece. But when you're scoring twice, they're still not holding out for the victory, which in their position, they've really got to take advantage of when they do actually manage to score goals.
Yeah, no, I thought it was a cracking game. The game of the weekend was brilliant. I thought it was the best game of the weekend as well. Okay.
Pretty surprised. Like, I was thinking it would be... I think I thought I'd be very surprised if there was more than one goal in that game. Mm. And then there's five.
No, I thought both teams took it really. I think for me, Mainz were going for that early goal to then hold out. And that's the way it kind of ended up. I know there was five goals in between that, but you know, they got that their early goal, and then it was a great hit by Boetius. But like for me, I thought that game was far too important, because if FC won that game, you're looking at them on 26. You're looking at Mainz on 20. I can't do the maths. You're looking at Mainz in 25. It makes it far much more exciting that there's one point between the four of them. But maybe it evens out a wee bit more and it gets that bit more excitement coming into it. But we'll mention their six games coming up. So they've got rivals by Leverkusen away. They have to go to Leipzig. They're playing away to Augsburg, home to Freiburg, away to Hertha, and at home to lowly Schalke. Just get all four, was it four or five I said there? Get all of them in just to happen around Schalke before we talk about them, of course. But I think Robert, FC have got a good run in there. I think they've probably got the best of the run in. If you forget about the first two games, like the last four, they've got the best last four games out of all of them. Because you look at Freiburg, Augsburg, they're probably going to be games that both those teams don't need care about. And then we talk about the Hertha and Schalke games.
Yeah. On the other hand, you've also got two local derbies in there. So at the weekend against Leverkusen, and then last game of the season against Schalke. I'm sure that Schalke would love nothing more than to bring Köln down with them to the second division on the final day of the season. So yeah, it's interesting because sort of all the teams down there sort of have a mix of fixtures left, really. Place where they got, where you'd expect them to pick up points, but as always, the way at the end of the season, you never know how it's going to go. And I'm not sure, I entirely agree with you that Köln are already down, because it's kind of a new start under Funkel. So the Gisdol era is over, and they've got, yeah, sort of six cup finals, as the cliche goes, before the end of the season.
Yeah, they do. I mean, we should probably talk about Funkel. I mean, I know he was already the Köln coach. What was that, in 2002, 2003? Quite a long time ago, but he's kind of just marking his way around the NRV, isn't he? He's been in so many North Rhine-Westphalia teams. I mean, he was at Krefeld for Uerdingen, Duisburg, he was Bochum, Aachen. I know some of them were really short stints, and then obviously Dusseldorf, Colin, you know. And did he not win the league with Dusseldorf last time?
Yeah.
So he's not, I know, and he kept them up. I think he could be an interesting one. I was thinking Stöger could have came in. He obviously said he was leaving Austria Wien, and they're going through some issues at the moment. Obviously, we don't know much about Austria football at the moment, but you know, Stöger could have been an interesting appointment again for me. I was thinking Funkel doesn't look like he's going to be that bad of an appointment, Colin, but I don't think it's a long term one.
Yeah, he's only until the end of the season. That's my first instinct when I heard his name was, all right, well, that's just a total journeyman manager. Like, what's that going to be long term? But then when they appointed him, it was just till the end of the season. It's like, fair enough. Like, I could give him the short term boost. I think it would be a mistake if he kept them up, if they ended up just giving him the job anyway, because I don't really think long term that's really going to do anything for them. They need a younger coach that can push them up the league, because they're just really, since they've got promoted, they've not really looked to push forward. They're just like hovering above the line, not really looking particularly impressive on the pitch. But it's difficult to say. He did a good job at Fortuna. Got them promoted, got them 10th place in this the first Bundesliga season. But second season in the Bundesliga, it all really went downhill. So be interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, no, it's an interesting one. I mean, I don't know what you think about it, Robert. But I think he has to be a short term for me. I still think, I don't know where it's going to go. You probably know more about Baumgart himself just by watching more Schweizer League than us. But I think Baumgart could be an interesting one if they go down or if they stay up from Paderborn.
Yeah, because sort of whilst I've been, since I've been following German football, yeah, Funkel has been known at Dusseldorf for getting them up. But I think his reputation before that was as sort of a, yeah, like a Sam Allardyce kind of bringing him in at the end of the season to save a club who's near relegation. And I think that's the problem that teams like Cologne, I mean, it's something you had at Haas Fau as well, where a coach would finish the season well and then they give him a long contract and then it wouldn't work out well and then you fire them sort of in October, November. Not only is it bad sort of sporting-wise, but obviously you're paying them huge amounts of money to then not be on your payroll anymore. And I think I read something recently that Köln are in quite bad financial trouble as well. I mean, that's sort of something with Bielefeld as well, is that whilst they'd love to stay up, for them it's not the end of the world if they don't stay up. They're in a lot better financial position than they were sort of 10 years ago, and they haven't risked everything to stay in the Bundesliga. Whereas for Cologne, they could be in real sort of financial trouble if they do drop down. So yeah, Baumgart would certainly be interesting. Mm. I was quite surprised that he's leaving Paderborn, really, because you sort of think with a bit of investment over summer, Paderborn could possibly sort of be in the promotion push in the second division. But yeah, interesting to see where he ends up.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good one to look at, actually. It's kind of, it gives a couple of names to look at for the next season anyway. But do you think that it sometimes works? You know, you look at your arch rivals now, Colin. Kelly have done it with Tommy Wright and they've brought him in and he seems like he's going to be the one to save them. Unfortunately for you, you won't have your Ayrshire derbies next year.
I'm not going to have it either way because we're going to get relegated. So.
You're
not going to mention David Hopkin now.
No, I don't think he's going to go for the Köln job at all. I don't think Kel Hopkins is going to make that jump. But no, of course, like, you know, it sometimes works with teams. A lot of teams do it. You, like you said, Robert, you get rid of the manager, you get someone in, he does well for the 5 games, and then you give him this huge contract. For me, Funkel's probably not going to do that. I think if he does keep them up, that's amazing. But I think that should be it by the end of it. And we all don't know what's going to go on behind the scenes at Köln, obviously. But for me, Funkel will not be the man next year to kind of take them any further forward if they're down or if they stay up. For Köln, that could be any game. You know, that could be like you could chuck like Unterhaching, who are near the bottom of the Drittliga just now, and you could get them to play Köln and they'd probably lose to them randomly. But is there games that are going to slip up? Do you think the first 2 games are going to be really difficult, as in it's Leverkusen and Leipzig? Or do you think that they generally don't, they shouldn't think about those 2 games? Robert, you take that one first, mate.
Leverkusen seem to have picked up slightly. I fortunately didn't watch Monday night's game. Seemed like I used my time a bit better. But I guess they're still trying to get into the Europa League. And Leipzig are always dangerous. Köln shipped 3 goals on Sunday to Mainz, so you wonder how many Leipzig will score against them. But yeah, then probably those the two there are looking at as we talked about before, Augsburg and Freiburg, who possibly might not have anything to play for at that point.
What about yourself, Colin? Are you looking at any of those games and thinking Köln are going to struggle in those games, or do you just kind of agree that the first 2 games could be really difficult going into it, and it could kind of leave them, you know, sitting worse for wear?
Yeah, it's going to be difficult to get a radar on Funkel, I think, because the first 2 games are so tough. But Leverkusen haven't been impressive at all recently anyway, so that could be one that they could look to even get a point in. Leipzig will be really difficult. But then you look after that in Augsburg, Freiburg, Hertha and Schalke. All of those are winnable, but in the same way that adds the pressure on. I mean, at that stage of the season anyway, there's loads of pressure. That Hertha game is just massive, though. So yeah, blew the Hertha section, that's just, that's that does look quite make or break.
I think that as well. I think the Hertha game is the biggest game of the end of the season, just because, you know, we're looking at two teams that generally just can't really afford to go down, like you said, Rob, about the financial situation of Köln, and Hertha generally can't go down after spending all that money. It's just going to look so bad for them, and it's going to make the Union Berlin fans absolutely slaughter them as well, as Collins is clearly sponsoring Union Berlin for this podcast today. So, you know, that game could be absolutely vital, but if I take this as an SA Kiln sympathiser, to quote the words of Derek Ray when he was on the podcast, I'm worried about the Schalke game. What if it comes to you have to beat Schalke? Schalke being the worst team all season and they don't beat Schalke, Robert. Am I just being really FC Kiln kind of like thinking about that in that way, or do you think that could be a possibility?
Oh yeah, definitely. Because then Schalke have got nothing to lose, and all the pressure is on Cologne. And so as I said before, you've got that sort of Nordrhein-Westfalen rivalry, and I'm sure Schalke would love to pull Köln down with them. I mean, who knows? Schalke might win their next five, and then they might be the decider of who's going down, and Schalke do the great escape.
Don't say that, because I was thinking that they literally could, if they wanted to, they could actually just go on a run. They did all right. They weren't terrible against Augsburg. I thought they were all right. I know they won, but in a kind of towards the end of the game, it kind of like flitted away. But they could go, and we'll talk about Schalke in a second, but they could go and do that. But I do worry that Köln could lose against Schalke last game of the season. Look what happened last game of the season, last season, with Werder Bremen. They got absolutely pummeled by a team who were bottom of the league. They were not bottom of the league. They were going for the relegation spot. But, you know, they got beat by a team who needed to win. And if it came down to Schalke needed to win, I would not bet... I would be betting against Köln to win that game. So, it'll be an interesting one. We'll finish up with Köln here. You know, we'll talk more in depth maybe next week about the new appointment and stuff, because we're kind of sticking to what they need to get out of this, the last six games. But any players for yourselves that, Colin, you can go first, that you think are going to be important coming into this last six games? Who are you thinking could be important for Köln? Is it just going to be Jonas Hector? You know, I thought he was really good against Mainz, for instance.
I have to choose. Like, I can't even think. Like,
if you have to choose, it's a question. Answer it.
Jonas Hector's a leader, so you want a figure like him to lead them out. But I'm trying to think of the players that they need.
I think of FC Köln players, so you don't know any. Is that your Fortuna Düsseldorf bias? Well,
I can't think of anybody that would can perform well. Like, right, what can I even say? I'll go with Anderson, actually. I'll just say, like, he starts. The only way I can get through this is by, like, waffling something, because I'm not confident in their squad at all. Right.
That's fair. That's a fair comment. Robert, do you have anything better to add than what Colin has just managed to slip out there for, like, any players you think could be interesting? I mean, I'll take it if you want.
But, like, I'm going to go on a limb here, and I'm going to say Max Meyer, mainly because I might be the only Crystal Palace fan with a Max Meyer name and number on the back of my shirt. And whilst we're recording this podcast, I have a Max Meyer Crystal Palace sticker on my laptop as well. So it's fair to say I'm signed up and the only member of the Crystal Palace Max Meyer fan club.
And the FPL Max Meyer fan club as well, probably.
Like, yeah, exactly.
Not managed to achieve much. That's an interesting one. I mean, he's looked really tidy when he's came on, but he's yet to kind of make that big impact, I think. For me, if we're going serious... Yeah, you saw what it meant to Jonas Hector and Timo Horn after the game against Mainz. Okay, that could have been for show, to show that they are those players, but they've been through a lot with FC. Kiln, and I think they could be vital coming into it. But I'm kind of shocked that, like yourself, Colin, you didn't think, you know, you said Anderson, but like Barnowell's come back, Kynes came back. Kynes was amazing. Well, he wasn't amazing, but he played really well against Mainz. You know, I think that those three coming back is vital for Kiln. I think it could help them in the end, the fact they've got those three back. They're very important, like, first-team players. Would you maybe agree with that now, Colin?
Yeah, I suppose Kynes can put a delivery in, so provide the service, if you're going to say, for Anderson. Because if Anderson gets more chances like he did in that last game, then he'll start taking some of them. Maybe just needs that bit more confidence, because he's not really ever hit the ground running at Cullen. Just needs that confidence there, his first goal.
So, yeah, no, I think injury hit Anderson as well. Injury hit Kynes, and injury like really took away Barnowell's season, because I think Barnowell, as much as I like watching him play, he's far too good for FC Cullen. I think he should be playing a higher standard. He's going to end up being in the Belgian squad, I think, soon. I think he's a really, really good player. But he's not really getting the plaudits just now because he's in an FC. You know, it's kind of like when, like, there's a really good player for, like, Scotland and he's not going to get the call. Like, there we go. Lawrence Shankland was never going to get the call up when he's playing at Ayr, but as soon as he goes to the Premier League, you know...
he got
his call up to Scotland. You know what I mean? Like, you're not going to get... I mean, Hector got calls up for when he was at Cairn, but, you know, he was probably the only left back, apart from maybe like Platt and Hart at the time, that was going to actually get in. Anyway, we're waffling about Cairn now. But yeah, I think that those three coming back could be really vital going forward. Let's go to bottom of the league, Schalke. We've not said many nice things about Schalke so far this season since we started the podcast. So Robert, we'll give it to you just in case you say something really, really, really nice about them. I'm not going to hope for it, but what are you thinking going into their last six games, Robert? You're looking at it and you're going... Freiburg away, Armenia away, Hertha at home, Hoffenheim away, Frankfurt at home, and Köln away. I mean, is it point talking about the last six games? Are they down 10 points with six games to go? It's not possible, but it's building on it.
Well, in preparation for this podcast, I wrote down all the last six fixtures for all the teams apart from Schalke, so I think maybe that gives you an idea.
I don't even know why we're talking about Schalke right now. Like,
yeah, because what? I mean, you think about it, like in previous seasons, I think VfB were one of the worst teams to be in the playoff, and they got like 30 points. So Schalke would need to win like all six of their last their last games to get to 31 points. So, I think... It's going to be difficult for them, and as we've seen in past seasons, like Nuremberg and Hanover last season, when you drop out of the Bundesliga and you've had a really bad season, it's hard to turn it around because you just don't know, you've forgotten how to win as a squad. I mean, when you add on top of that, you don't know who's going to be there. Lots of sort of old stars like Kuntala, Kalasanac are probably on big wages, but don't know if they're going to stay around. So, yeah, I mean, there's huge problems for them, really. And no, I think Sunday was maybe a nice something for their fans, but I can't see them turning around.
Yeah, I don't even think it was a nice something for the fans. I think the fans were just like, okay, we won, great. That's two for the season. We'll probably go into more detail with Schalke come the end of the season, because it looks like they will be getting relegated, unfortunately. Seeing another big club leave. Colin's probably smiling at the fact that the Schalke are like going down instead of Mainz. Because he prefers Schalke over Mainz, remember?
Absolutely outrageous accusation.
I mean, you literally said it like 10 minutes ago.
No, I said that. I said I preferred Schalke to Mainz.
That's what I'm saying. So you'd be upset to see Schalke leave?
Yeah, yeah, right, okay, that's fine.
Yeah, you should listen next time.
It's like you're accusing me of being a Mainz fan again, which I totally reject.
I forgot, you know, that you kind of jump between the teams, as you remember from one of our previous episodes. Anyway, we're waffling again, because there's not much to talk about with Schalke, because, I mean, they are going down. Do you see them winning any of the last six games? Luckily, it's to get, like... I mean, the biggest team they got to play is Frankfurt at home. Frankfurt at that time could already have called, like, well, I think the top four is the top four going into the season, but that's another episode to talk about again. But like playing Hoffenheim could be done, Hertha could be done, Arminia, Freiburg are probably done, you know. Teams that might not want to go out and beat them, but they might just do it for the laugh, you know. Just the Schalke finishing two wins. But surely, Robert, they can't finish in two wins. That's such a bad season.
No, I think it's unlikely. As we're talking about with Köln, maybe for the last game of the season, give Huntelaar, maybe he'll roll back the years. Because he scored against Leverkusen, didn't he? That was a pretty impressive goal. He sort of controlled on his chest and hammered it in. I guess the question with him is whether he stays fit as well. But
I had to lie down after that goal. Like, once you do that goal, I had to go lie down before they left Leverkusen. Like, he's been impressive, like, in slight spells, but he's not came as that player who, like, he said, oh, I'm coming back to Schalke to keep them up and I'm going to be my last team, you know. It was never going to be that, was it? Like, you can kind of look at it, it was never going to be that fairy tale ending for him. He probably regrets leaving Ajax at this moment in time.
Yeah, I mean, the parallels sort of with Haas Fowl for Schalke as well are quite big, sort of bringing back old players to sort of try and relive the glory days, probably on inflated wages as well, like Van der Vaart when he was back at Haas Fowl as well. And yeah, I mean, because Huntelaar's what, 37 or something like that? So yeah, I mean, you can't expect him. He should be in the MLS collecting his money like Bobby Wood.
Bobby Wood, yeah, we'll talk about him. That was an interesting just leaving Haas Fowl. But we'll stick to Schalke before we go any further. Let's just kind of wrap up Schalke, because I don't think there's much we can really say that doesn't involve a big episode about how poor the season's been. So am I going to ask the question if there's any player that you think could help them towards the end of the season, Colin? Is there any, do you think Grimaldi's to try and help them out, you know? And like, here's an interesting question. Is Grimaldi still going to be there next season?
I think they said either way he's going to be in charge.
Have they? Oh, well, that's we'll forget that question. I didn't read that, sorry.
They can't really afford another sacking either.
Yeah, no, they probably can't. So, like, to end up with Schalke, are we all in agreement that they're going to be bottom and really struggle with the last six games?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. We'll move on. I think that was quite interesting just to hear what, like, kind of more in depth for the last five, okay, the four teams, we didn't really go much in depth for Schalke, unfortunately. Sorry, the Royal Blue fans, we don't mean that, but it's kind of hard to talk about these at the moment. They are pretty much gone. But Colin, you raised an important point that you're adamant had to get spoken about in this podcast, that Hoffenheim and Werder Bremen aren't too far away. So what's your thoughts on that? You know, look at Bremen might have the Pokal as a slight distraction for them, but they've got to play Dortmund, Mainz, Union, Leverkusen, Augsburg and Gladbach. And Hoffenheim have got to play Leipzig, Gladbach, Freiburg, Schalke, Arminia and Hertha. Do you think both are out of it, or do you think both could still be involved?
Werder Bremen especially, I think, are still involved. They are on 30 points, only 4 points clear. A 4 point gap with six games to go, that isn't by any means them safe, I don't think. Like, they've got Dortmund away next as well. Could easily lose that. They've lost the last four games consecutively. Could easily lose against Dortmund. That piles the pressure on for their home game against Mainz. If they lose that again and they're on a six game run losing games, they're still stuck in 30 points, then it's going to look really, the pressure's really going to pile on. And I don't know, I want them to stay clear. I want them to stay up last season as well. But they've really got a real danger of getting dragged back into it again. Hoffenheim are only a point clear as well. They're only five clear of the playoff. So they're by no means safe. They've got a few tough games as well. They're heading to Leipzig next and play Gladbach after that. And then they've got a few games of teams round about the bottom, so there's definitely the chance that those six-pointers that they could lose those, and that would help other teams down the bottom as well, perhaps catch up with them. So you definitely can't ignore these sides. Augsburg, they're not totally safe as well, but I think they've got that slight bit of distance between themselves and the bottom three that I don't think they'll be in too much trouble. Werder Bremen in particular, I'm particularly worried about.
Yeah, no, you can see that. But I think they might just, all three of them mentioning, you know, Augsburg, Hoffenheim, Bremen, they might just have enough. They might just have enough to stay out of it.
Sorry for bringing Mainz into it again, but
is that Mainz you're talking about? Sorry, you've not mentioned them at all.
Mainz, I'm a lot more worried about Werder Bremen than I am about Mainz.
Whoa. So this is how we're going to end it though. We're going to try and assume I've actually got two. I think two possibilities are going to happen, but let's hear like from our last six games coming up, who the bottom five is going to be. If anyone doesn't say Schalke's bottom, then I'll be questioning that considerably. But, Colin, you can go first as the resident of
Ayrshire. Bottom five. So, I think the bottom five will be... What's fifth bottom? Is that 14th? 18th, 17th, 16th? 14th. 14th. I think 13th will be Mainz.
Ooh.
14th will be Hertha. 15th will be Werder Bremen, 16th will be Köln, 17th will be Armenia, and 18th will be Schalke. And Hoffenheim will be up in 12th.
Okay.
I have to say I agree with Colin, but I'd have the other way around. I'd have Köln still in 17th and Bielefeld in 16th. But other than that, I'd have it the same. Sorry about that.
Okay, sorry. Just giving some gestures to Robert there. After giving some celebratory to Colin, after saying Kieran are going to hit the playoff. Right, so if we're bringing those three teams into it, okay, I think Bremen will finish below Hertha. Like Hertha's got, I'm going to actually claw it back. I think Hertha will finish above Bremen. They'll go 13th. So 13th Hertha, 14th Bremen, 15th Mainz. I think Mainz will drop off. And then 16th Köln, 17th Bielefeld, and of course 18th lowly Schalke. But I also think that there's a chance, and it depends on the Hertha game, that Köln could finish above Mainz. I think Mainz's last four games are going to be really difficult, and I know yous were basically very against that and saying, look, they're going to be okay if they pick up for the next two. But see if they don't pick up for the next two, and Köln get a wee bit of momentum from this manager boost. You're both laughing. Am I just being a bit daft FCA fan thinking that we can say, yeah, you're both laughing?
I think to quote Derek Gray, that's the FCA Köln sympathiser in you that's speaking.
potential. But that's the way I kind of see it going. So all we can say is it's going to be a really exciting end to the season. I think the bottom end should really be looked at. I know you're looking at the top and we had a really interesting, exciting game with Wolfsburg and Frankfurt, which makes that exciting going forward because one of them hit the second place ahead of Leipzig, and Dortmund are pretty much gone from the Champions League. They're also playing right now at the moment, but they've pretty much lost that. So bottom five, bottom seven, if you want to call it, could be really exciting. Bottom eight, to be honest, if you're going to include Augsburg as well. It could be really exciting going to the end, so hopefully that kind of in-depth look into all the teams, except Schalke, of course, was interesting, and we can look into an exciting end of the season. So I think that was quite a long chat just on the last five. So I think we'll just kind of wrap things up with a quiz, and Robert is going to host his first quiz, which again we don't know anything about, which I'm kind of worried because he could come up with anything. It could be like name Has Val's under 21 team that played against St. Pally's under 21 team. You know, it completely ruined us. But what are you going for, Robert? Take the lead.
Well, sticking to the theme this week, I've gone for Friedhelm Funkel's last game, which included FC Köln. So we're going to do the starting lineups from the Merkurspiel Arena on the 5th of November 2019. I guess the first question would be, what was the score? Anyone remember the score in that game?
2-1 Köln.
Sorry?
They're not 2-1 Köln? I think I'm wrong.
2-1 Fortuna.
It was 2-0 Fortuna.
Oh.
So I'll give But Colin was closer, so I'll give the first point to Colin. But yeah, so I think we'll do it one at a time, maybe. So, Colin, you can go first.
Headings.
Yes.
2019. Have we got lives, or is it just we're just going through it? Like, it doesn't matter if we get it wrong.
So no, it just doesn't matter. Just we've got 10 minutes.
I think Hector was injured at this point of the season, so I'm not going to go for him. But Timo Horn was in goal.
Correct.
Matthias Zimmermann.
Correct.
Now I'm questioning all the players at that time. I'm going to go with John Córdoba.
That's wrong, unfortunately.
What is through the fuck? I like how we've both just chosen to go with our teams. Sorry, go.
Eric Tomey.
Correct. Scored the second.
Breakaway goal, I remember.
I'm going to assume if Córdoba wasn't playing, Tirode was probably starting.
Correct.
Adam Bodzik.
Correct.
Catherback.
Yep.
Gikos.
Hey, yeah. You're not allowed to say FCA players. I thought that's how it was going. I thought I was going to go visitor. Bornau?
Yeah.
I will guess a visitor play eventually.
Can Ihan?
Mm-hmm.
Karaman?
No.
Cassim Adams.
Yep.
Oh, who's playing right back? Marcel Reza?
Nope.
Shit. What's the other one?
Marcel Zabotka.
No. He wasn't playing.
I think got one wrong. Yeah, there's three options I could have played right back then. Why am I going for? I feel like it's right. Let's go for right back since I'm stuck here. I'm going to. There's three in my head that it could be, so I'm going to go for Ezebue.
Yeah.
Thank fuck, because the other ones are going to be Badr or. I'm not going to say actually, in case they were also playing.
Zach Steffen.
Yeah.
Good shout. How many we got left? Sorry. I think we've got a lot of FC players left.
Nine
altogether? Cool. Did I say Jonas Hector yet? No.
No. So, yes, he was playing.
Thank God.
No, you didn't say him. Yes, that was correct.
Alfredo Morales.
Yeah.
I like him. He's a good player.
He's gone to Bobby Woodruff and back to the
end of this. Laurie and Kynes?
Nope.
Shit. This team hasn't changed much.
Left back. Gieselman?
Yeah, very good.
Christian Clemens?
No.
He must have still been injured.
There's two more Fortuna players.
Oh, two? Oh, Colin, let you take them because I've got no idea. I can't remember Fortuna players that year. And I went to see Fortuna.
One of them I don't really recognise, to be honest.
You don't recognise? Oh.
The other one is currently at Kaiserslautern, I think.
Oh, John Summer.
Yeah.
Hey. You'd have a clue.
I was thinking him anyway. Like I thought of him after Zimmerman. One comes after the other. You just got to think.
I've got most of these wrong, so Colin's probably already won. I'm going to take a stab at the last Dusseldorf player. Any chance it was the Polish striker? Wozniacki?
No, I think he was only there the season. I don't know.
Are you thinking of Kornacki?
Kornacki, yeah, sorry.
He was there. I think he was injured a lot.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't think I got the name right. I'm sorry.
There's one guy, Roy, you can have another guy. There's one guy for Köln who played on Sunday, midfield.
Skiri?
Yeah. So yeah, there's one more Fortuna player and three more Köln players.
Yeah.
One more Fortuna player that you've not heard of. Is it somebody like Ofori?
No, the name sounds familiar, but I would know it would have been a long time until I don't think I would have got him. But
who played on the right?
One for Köln was on loan at HSV last season.
Oh, I don't know. I think.
No, I need to get that.
Currently in Austria.
Louis Schaub.
Yeah.
Bad player. I wish he'd a Scottish granny. After that goal against Dresden in the 8-1-1.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Like, he was, for HSV as well, like, he had really good moments, but it seemed to be, like, in the important moments, he just seemed to sort of, didn't really show up. But yeah, technically, really good. So there's still one more Fortuna player and two more FSA players. Go on, Colin.
Tick Petty?
No. I think he's a central midfielder, number 7.
What we got left for FSA, position-wise?
I'm not sure where he's playing, but central attacking midfielder. The other one is currently at Hanover, I think.
Dominic Drexler.
Yeah.
What did you say there about Hanover?
Nothing.
Is that Kingsley Schindler?
Yeah.
That was my next guess for right mid. I couldn't give a right mid. Right, I've definitely no idea about this Dusseldorf player. Bodzek?
No, Colin already said him, yeah. There's one, number 7 for Dusseldorf.
Was it that? What's that on loan Chelsea player called? I can't remember his name.
Oh.
Lewis Baker?
No, it wasn't.
Good shout, though. Can you give us a nationality? Because we're really both struggling.
Brandon Morello.
Wait a minute. I'll look up his... I'll see where he is now. I think he's still at Fortuna.
Oh, he's still at Fortuna.
Is it Edgar Pribb?
No, he came from Hanover, I think.
He was in the summer. He's just in the summer.
Apparently he's now with the Fortuna second team.
Oh, it's a Fink.
Yes, yeah.
Okay. So,
38 years old, blimey.
What was his score?
14 to Colin and 9 to Roy.
I guessed too many wrong at the start. But it wasn't like they were off guesses. They could have started at that time. That was a good one, especially doing a wee Ryan Derby there as well. We did between me and Colin. That's the first time we've had to do that. But Colin reigned successful once again, unfortunately. It was smug look he's got there down in Ayrshire or up in Ayrshire where we are, to be fair. But no, that's a good one. You know, as we're finishing, Dortmund are 1-0 up, so hopefully Dortmund can kind of hold that out and be the last German team left in the Champions League again. But hopefully you enjoyed that. Good look into the last, the bottom 5 teams and including some of the other teams just above. Because the relegation, the Abstieg battle is going to be very, very good going into the end. So keep an eye on it. Hopefully there'll be a couple of games on the UK as well for that. So keep your eye out for them, especially the last day of the season. That'll be great. So thanks to Robert for coming on. You know, hopefully we'll get to see you a couple more times as well coming to the end of the season. So that'll be fun. And until then, we'll see you later.
And Scotland have bounced back again.